take a breath and slow down. I've been so really invigorated this week by seeing God's power coming through a little lamb. That is personally encouraging to me because of my weakness. And you all know about my weakness. I know about your weakness. I get discouraged in this world, upset, impatient, even angry. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I sometimes become angry at, well, for one thing, the apparently leisurely pace of God in bringing these things forth. But that is all part of my weakness, isn't it? And when I'm weak, then I am powerful because of His power operating in me. We're coming to the place of having no confidence in the flesh. So we'll slow down just a little bit, but I have no doubt that I will forget all of this and speed up in the excitement of understand. Did you realize what we're doing here? We are understanding the book of Revelation. They said it couldn't be done. They said it was not intended to be done. And yet, here are you and I. And we, being unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid, yet are believing God. And we're taking Him at His word. And this is a delight, isn't it? So we see that everything is, the scroll is handed to a lambkin, but everything comes to be in the hand of messengers, of angels. So how can it be? It's because that the angels and the messengers are delegated authority. Delegated authority. Now, it is true that the lambkin is alone in the breaking of the seals, because no one else is worthy. So there's no participation from any other beings associated with Christ. But when we see the inflictions that follow, then we see the delegated authority of the spirits, which are a vital part of the lambkin. This is all about delegated authority. We know the word El is God, subjector, but we also have Eloah and Elohim. These are all forms of the word El. Eloah, speaking of Christ in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and Elohim being the plural, that is two subjectors. Other spiritual beings, Elohim, it's a plural, other spiritual beings used by God. The root word in all of these words, all of these names, is El, God. You see, the sun comes out, so my whole lighting gets shut, because now I'm overexposed. Hang on. I got to fix this. This is bugging me. Don't go away. Oh, yeah. I got a subdued mood going on here. I got some ambiance that I've just created with that new lighting. So we have El, Eloah, Elohim. What's the common root of all those? What's the right, El. So it's God operating in all of them. So, but many expositors today, and again, I'm telling you, they all say the same thing. They see the seven spirits, and instead of taking that literally, instead of seeing the seven eyes, what John sees, and the literal explanation, these seven eyes are seven spirits, they just say that, well, that just speaks of the plurality of God's power, the fullness of His power and intelligence. All right, if this is true, then if when we look at the 10-horned beast, which we're going to do in chapter 12, verse 3, and chapter 13, verse 1, it speaks of having 10 horns, which you perceived are the fullness. If you're going to take the common interpretation of the seven spirits, then you're going to have to say that the 10 horns mean, oh, that just means the fullness of the power of the beast. And yet the 10 horns are plainly said to be 10 kings. Chapter 17, verse 12. These are literal kings. Literal kings. So likewise, the dragon and the beast. This is the unusual thing I'm going to do. I'm going to look at the composite figure of the dragon in chapter 12, verse 3. No, I'm not. Before I do that, I'm going to do the wild beast, because this is probably an easier composite figure to get your head around than the lambkin. But let me say this briefly about the lambkin before I go on to the wild beast, because it's such disparate topics, obviously. In his sacrifice, Christ was alone. Just like when he's getting this scroll, he's alone. And in the sacrifice on the cross, he was by himself. But now in the deliverance, he is joined within the deliverance by messengers, by angels. He's accompanied by them because they are his eyes and they are the horns of power. And again, when we see tomorrow, the last day of this week, we're going to get into the difference between horns and eyes. One speaks of power and one speaks of the actual delivering force that does the nitty-gritty, rubber-to-the-road work on the earth. All right, so let's go to chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to see this about the wild beast, which is another composite figure. Revelation 13, 1. And it was standing on the sand of the sea, and I perceived a wild beast ascending out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns 10 diadems, and on its heads blasphemous names. So you see the similarity between the lambkin and the wild beast. I'm not going to draw too many similarities because there aren't very many, but this is the common similarity, is that it's a composite figure. It's a wild beast, but it's a weird one. It has 10 horns and 7 heads. 10 horns, 7 heads. The lambkin has 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. This tells you, first of all, that like the lamb, the beast is not literal. Listen to me now. The beast is not literal. The beast, John sees the beast in his vision, but it's a vision. So he sees a wild beast, but it is explained to him what it is. It's the world's confederacy. And as we're going to see, we might as well go to this now. The 10 horns are 10 kings. Let's go to 17:10. The unveiling, 17, verse 10. Let's go to 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains where the woman is sitting on them, and they are 7 kings. So the 7 heads are 7 kings. And it goes into detail about them. We're not there yet. And the 10 horns which you perceived are 10 kings, verse 12. The 10 horns are 10 kings. So we have 2 sets of kings represented by 2 sets of horns. That's the literal part. And John does not see a literal baby lamb. Oh, wait, he does see a literal baby lamb, but it's not a literal representation of Christ. It speaks of his humility and his submission and his meekness and his youth, all the things we meant. Those are the real things. The Christ is real. The lambkin is symbolic, but John still sees it and he's explaining it, but it's explained to him what it is. Same with the beast, not literal, but the powers behind it are certainly literal. And we learn that the horns of the beast and the heads are kings. Those are literal kings that will literally be on this earth. Okay, so that's why the comparison is helpful here to the wild beast. And the dragon, same thing. The dragon, 12:3, has 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, okay, that's where we... No, we weren't. Yeah, the dragon and the... All right, we're getting all these confused. Now, I am sorry. I'll take responsibility for that. Don't want to confuse you there. The wild beast and the dragon, 2 different things. Horns and heads. We're not there yet anyway. But you're looking at distinct powers. The dragon has 7 heads, and these are all distinct powers. So you can't just see the 7 spirits of Christ and say that this is just a way of saying that the fullness of the power. No, because you're not doing that with the 7 kings or the 10 kings. So why do it with the composite figure of the Lamb? All right, these are distinct powers. And the dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and a tail. The dragon has a tail. John sees a tail. But there's not going to be a literal... This is not like Godzilla destroying Tokyo. You're not going to see a literal dragon with a literal tail. What does the tail speak of? It represents the following that the lambkin has, or that the dragon has. So, again, we're using wisdom and understanding figures, and yet we're not going to deny what the figures represent. You cannot explain God's explanations. That is the critical thing to remember. When God explains something, that's literal. But expositors today and people who claim to be wise in Revelation, they explain the explanations. And they make the explanation of the figures, they try to explain those. And that's where you're out of bounds. And you can go off on so many crazy tangents at that point. And people do that all the time. So, do I want to get into the body of the beast? Why not? The body of the beast is like a leopard. And this is going to take us back to Daniel. Daniel's vision. Its feet are like a bear. Its mouth are like a lion. These are representative of the governments, which are subordinate to the wild beast. Okay? But for our present purpose, it's going to be enough now to see that this animal, that is the wild beast, brings before our mind a confederacy of kings. And this beast is not going to, again, have any literal existence. It's a vision designed by God, given to John to illustrate the apostasy of the nations at the time of the end. So, the important thing to take away here is that Christ receives, as the lambkin, the scroll by himself. And when he was on the cross, he was there by himself. But now, don't get confused, because when you see these messengers destroying things, when we start to loosen the seals, as we're going to do in the next chapter, you're going to see things happening on the earth by messengers, angels, powerful spiritual beings. And you're going to ask yourself, where'd the lambkin go? Where's the lambkin? I need you to remember this, that they are delegated by the lambkin. They are a part of the lambkin. They're his eyes. They are his horns of power. They're part of him. He's accompanied by them, but they are his eyes. They are his horns. So never are we to disassociate the effecting of the judgments from the Lamb, even though we're seeing a different aspect. That's why I say you can't look at the judgments and divorce them from God's love. How can you say that? Well, because God is multifaceted. He's a judger, yes. His love is tough, yes. But he's always love. That's his prime characteristic. Likewise, these judgments are still coming from the Lambkin, because as we roll this thing, we're going to see the seven eyes in action. We're going to see the seven horns in action. And you're going to be tempted to forget that they're the eyes and the horns of the lambkin. The baby lamb is a composite figure just like the beast. So when you see, I'm going to apply it to the evil forces too. When you see the kings, and they look so wonderful and so powerful and so good, and when you see these kings, you can't divorce it from the wild beast. They come from the wild beast. They're energized by the wild beast. They draw their authority from the wild beast, and the wild beast from the dragon, the adversary himself. And so, but it's going to be so easy in the days of the end to see a wonderful kings. We have such wonderful rulers. You cannot ever forget the source. Likewise, when you see things being broken and people being killed in the unveiling, never, ever divorce it from the baby lamb, whose intention always is to bring the earth back to itself and back to God. And the lamb itself serves its God, right? You can't look at the lambkin and forget its source. Who handed the scroll to the lamb? God did. And where was he? On the throne. Not a literal throne. That's what John saw. It speaks of his power. So delegated authority, delegated. The messengers of destruction that we're about to see in chapter 6 do not act of their own authority. They come from the slain one, the one with blood, the one who shed his own blood for you. That's the one. And he himself does not speak of his own authority, but rather his authority comes from God. And what is God? God is spirit, and God is love.